You're listening to Speak Loud, resilient stories of triumph and hope, helping you to turn your past into fuel for your best future. Here's your host, founder of the 501c3 Share, providing resource and support for trauma victims, and a survivor herself, Tiffany Barnes.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Speak Loud podcast. As always, I am your host, Tiffany Barnes, and thank you for joining me here today. I've got a pretty amazing guest in store, if I do say so myself. I'd say he's got a really cool name, too. His name is Seth Dietlin. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Seth Dietlin. And he is a psychic who works in the angelic realm, and he's also a certified hypnotherapist, which we're going to talk about today, as well as an energy healer. And back in 2002, he had a spiritual awakening where he encountered his angels, his guides, and that fostered a permanent two-way communication with him. I'm very jealous, although we all have this ability. We're going to talk about this. Mm-hmm. They prophesized a forthcoming shift in which the new earth would be birthed after a death cycle of the old fear and false lack-based structures that would collapse. He is constantly downloading knowledge and frequency to do his part in the Great Awakening. You guys have done an episode on this. He teaches intuitive development through his online course, the Angel and Tarot Masterclass. And the angels have revealed to him how to teach intuitive development as a gateway portal to total personal consciousness ascension and the power to create one's own reality. He is the author of The Ascension with the Angels Tarot Deck. And as a filmmaker, he is the founder of Earth Angels International, a foundational enterprise to work with the angels and their guidance to raise consciousness during the pivotal time in history, while uniting other conscious luminaries and creating content and community. He is the producer and host of his own podcast called Talk to My Angels, as well as Earth Angel International, the official podcast of the Angelic Enterprise. Without further ado, I can't wait for this conversation, Mr. Seth Dietlin.
Thank you so much for having me. When I listen to that, I'm like, am I doing all that? And then I'm like, thank you, angels, for giving me the energy to do that. And of course, the guidance, which is why we love to develop that intuitive self, because yes, it gives so many of those shortcuts. You can do so much when you have access to that. But thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I love how tuned in you are. I've just started kind of getting into this stuff myself maybe 5 years ago. I've always known I've had some sort of a clairvoyance or intuition, if you will, but it's been really tuned in these last 5 years. So I can't wait to get deeper into this conversation with you and how some of the modalities that you have are going to help people in overcoming their own trauma circumstance. But before I do so, I got to ask the main question I ask all of my guests, which I would say is one of the most important questions. What are you here to speak loud about?
How to utilize your trauma to become an amazing and powerful conscious creator of your own reality.
I love this. Okay, so let's dive in.
I'm going to do that with the hands too.
Create some energy, right?
Yes.
So what is the first step in that? What would you recommend? What's the first step in being enlightened and aware in this great awakening, which I've also talked myself about, that there's this one consciousness that's happening right now on the planet, right? How are we all playing our part?
Yes. Well, first of all, as you mentioned, that you always had suspicion that you had some gift of intuition. And since I've been working with the angels for 20 years, everybody has this. It's a matter of whether you tune into it or not. So I got the distinct pleasure of being intuitive when it was weird and wacky. And now it's the latest thing, you know? So what happens is that we all have that gift. And of course, we've lived in a world that doesn't encourage that. And there's a reason for that, because it keeps us in a more powerless state. And it isn't just to be intuitive because, you know, I want to know if someone's going to call me on Friday night and ask me out or what the lottery numbers are. But it's actually the most amazing tool that we can unlock that everybody has. Everybody has it. We're just taught to shut it off. And it's so easy to turn it on. And when we start to activate it and utilize it, it's not learning something that we don't know. It's remembering something that we already know. So it begins to actually unravel and unfold on its own.
I love that. And so also with that being said, when you're going through these traumatic circumstances, even, you know, little boy, little girl, that is still active within you. But oftentimes that's shut down by the abuser and the environment that we're placed in. But it's not that it ever goes away. As you mentioned, we can very simply turn it back on.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that angle out of that, because that is a really powerful and potent one, especially to your audience. So one of the things that the angels have taught me through their conversations is that before we come here, we make agreements, whatever that might be. Our agreements are going to meet our spouse and have our children. We've made agreements with our children to bring them into the world. We made agreements with our jobs. In fact, you're a realtor. When I was a realtor, when I got this, I noticed that when I would show someone a house, they would change because something inside of them would get activated and they would say, oh, I feel like I'm at home already. And that's because we remember the soul agreement that we have with all of these various things. Well, believe it or not, and I'm going to use myself as an example, I made a soul agreement to be bullied by people in school, the boys in school. I was a sensitive and quiet and empathic person back at that time. And of course, they picked up on that and they made fun of me and they bullied me. Well, I'm going to say that I signed up for that because ultimately it was a teaching mechanism. So our traumas that we experience earlier in life, in some way, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, we signed up for them because they're a teaching mechanism. And when we actually embrace them in that way, we can turn them around and begin to elevate our entire consciousness so that we become the multidimensional conscious creator that we are.
And it's all part of this Earth school that we're on.
It is.
You mentioned, yeah, we're here on this Earth school. I love what you brought up. I call it soul contracts.
Right.
Where we have you ever read the book Seed of the Soul? I bet you have.
Yes.
Yes. By Gary Zukav, or I think that's his last name. So that was my first experience with really kind of being introduced to the concept of a soul contract. And I love what you said there, because I've given several motivational talks in my life. I run a nonprofit for abused women, children, men. And so I share my story frequently. And when I do, I have people come to me and say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry you went through that. Like, oh, if I would have known, and all this stuff. And I look at them with almost like delight on my face. And I say, I'm so glad I went through it.
Yeah.
And that's because I know that's my soul contract.
Yeah.
You know, we all kind of chose this path before we came here. And sometimes we never realize that in this lifetime. And that's why maybe you might get reincarnated and have to come back and learn a lesson again. Right. And so it's all about, when you can look at it from that perspective, I think it makes things not so tough, if that makes sense.
It also gives you your power back.
Yes.
And what's interesting is that, and when I do hypnotherapy for people, for example, I'll do past life regressions.
Yeah.
And when we do past life regressions, we actually get to see sort of the soul agreements that we have, but then we get to understand, what did I come into that lifetime for? Because, for example, we can then take certain situations. For example, if I take the bullying that I encountered, it actually taught me humility. Mm. It taught me how to be humble. And I needed that experience to permanently plant a sense of humility. Because the work that I'm doing, as it launches, I know that I'm going to have the opportunity to touch a lot of lives, but I'll always be deeply rooted in that humility, thanks to the fact that I prepared for my mission by signing up for 12 years of bullying.
Yeah.
And so when we see it for what it is, it really starts to flip around. And we can do that in little situations too. For example, I've been moving around via guidance, and I ended up living in a space that was sort of different than what I thought I was manifesting. And then the angels came and said, why don't you start looking at what shows up as part of the plan, even when you don't
Oh, I think I lost you there.
Things.
There we go. You froze for a minute. That was weird.
Okay. So where'd I leave off?
You had just started talking.
Okay. Good. So what happened, I used the example of being bullied, is that that taught me humility. That taught me humility, which is now permanently planted in my reality. And so as I work on certain things, and that launches different ways that I'm going to reach and help a lot of people, it ensures that I get to stay grounded in humility so that I can remain of service. And I realized that I signed up for that so that that would end up being the case. And then when we learn to leverage that, what happens is that we can then turn around even to the smallest of situations. Recently, I found myself living in a place that it wasn't exactly what I had in mind. And the angel said, why don't you start looking at everything as part of the plan, even when it doesn't appear like it's part of the plan. And when we do that, then we start to take our power back and we reclaim all of the pieces and all of the resistance from all of the different things, whether it's the traumatic experiences in our past or something that looks like it falls short from the present. All of that ends up working its way out as pieces of the puzzle.
Have you ever read the book, The Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer?
Yes.
I feel like you're living that right now. You know, you're just kind of going like, I don't know where this is going to take me, but I'm going to follow it. That's kind of what you're living, right?
Yes, exactly. And it's interesting because I was introduced to that after I started living in this state of surrender. And I was like, oh gosh, Michael and I could actually have some talks about comparing notes.
Yeah.
And surrender is one of the ingredients of manifesting, of being a conscious creator, is surrendering to what shows up, for sure.
So let's say somebody's listening to this and they say, no, I'm not intuitive. Like, I don't believe in any of that stuff. What do you have to say to them? What advice do you have? Or maybe not even advice, just what would you say to that?
Well, I'm going to wait for the day that they come back to me and say, I just discovered it. I got what you were talking about. Because right now, with everything, the way that it's shifting and moving on the planet, everybody is discovering this when it's their time. And out of all respect for anyone, wherever they are on their journey, we're all from the same oneness or unity field of divine consciousness. And so the other person that might not be open to it yet is just me in another body having a different experience. So I send them love. And I say, if there's any questions I can answer, I'm happy to. But if you want to come to me later, the door is always open.
So correct me if I'm wrong. Right now we're in, is it called the Golden Age? I know we've called it that in the past, but that's kind of what we're getting back into, right?
Well, I have a different take on this and different description of this.
Okay.
So we are moving into something special. So whether we want to label it, because we're linear, we've been entrained in sort of linear logic and that sort of thing. So we want to give things names and compartmentalize things. But what we're moving into is a non-linear state, which is our natural multidimensional state. And so, yes, we are moving into a greater level of power. We absolutely are. And what's happening around us that appears to actually create more challenges, whatever that might be, it doesn't really serve us to blame anything or anyone on that. Because what happens is the other people are us in another body too. And so when we get that, we get to go up another level of power and go, in Earth school, what am I here to learn and actually up level? So to answer your question, yes, we are moving into the next level and in a way that we've never seen before. So you could call that uncharted territory, which is super exciting. And that's where intuition comes in as the game changing life skill that we can acquire right now or tune into, which is why I love teaching it, is because I'm not just teaching people how to predict things. I'm teaching people how to connect with their higher self or their soul's intelligence, or that unified field of consciousness. So then not only are we guided to be in the right place at the right time or to move around as we surrender, but we're also understanding things because we start to learn things through that level of consciousness that we're not going to read about or be educated into knowing through our school systems that are absolutely pivotal as we chart this unfamiliar territory, but yet we know what we're doing because it's unfolding and we have a familiarity to it. We're open to what it's bringing to us, even though it's out of character from any repeating pattern that we have in quote unquote recorded history.
So how does one connect to their higher self? What three steps do you have? Five steps? I don't know. Do you have steps?
Three steps. Well, first of all, yes. But first of all, what I say to people, especially when I'm going to do hypnotherapy with them, and hypnotherapy, by the way, we use the term mesmerize in common vernacular. Well, mesmerize is a reference to Dr. Franz Mesmer, who is the godfather, shall we say, of hypnosis. He was a medical doctor in Germany in like the 1600s or 1700s. And he realized that we were part of a connected field of intelligence. And instead of actually giving people medicine, let's say, or chemicals or whatever, to actually heal the body, that we could access that field for healing. And so he pioneered how to use hypnosis as a way of actually healing the physical body. And since then, we have a lot of other pioneers, such as Dolores Cannon, who taught us different aspects of how to use it for mental and other types of health, mental health. And all that it is that our that field of intelligence that we're connected to all the time. But what happens is that we don't readily identify that on the map within until someone says something like this: how do you feel when you're in the zone doing something creative? How do you feel when you're in the shower and all of a sudden you have this great idea? How do you feel when you are relaxed next to the beach or out in by a lake or in the forest, where suddenly you get into an expanded state? How do you feel when you're driving in your car and you say, how on earth did I get here? And you all of a sudden you've organized all the different ideas that you have. Well, we step into a higher brainwave state all the time. So we can almost see it as kind of like layers. The first layer deals with logic. So that'd be like, okay, the finite aspects like money or measurements or judging, not judging as in like judgment, like Mean Girls, but judging as in like ascertaining, oh, that's a beautiful hotel I stayed in, or, oh, it's warm outside, that sort of thing. Those are the first level. But the other levels, that's where all the ideas and the creativity is. So there's so many different ways. Creativity is an amazing portal. If we want to experiment with cooking, container gardening, painting, even if it's just painting, just by getting into the zone, we get into that higher state of awareness. Now, when we do that, like in hypnosis, I take you in there, or I take a person in there, and then I guide that person to leverage that higher conscious state to go and do healing for themselves, because the higher consciousness knows the exact target point of what's ready to be released. So we can do that all the time. So it's so good for us to be in that expanded state. Notice how stressed out people, it wears out their skin. That stress has all kinds of physical ill effects on us and creates dis-ease. Mm-hmm. And the ease comes from actually being in that expanded state of awareness. And it's so easy to realize that it's not something that we're not already doing as well. And also pay attention to what we usually call our imagination, because our imagination is a portal that our higher consciousness uses to speak to us all the time. In fact, it is the way that our higher consciousness speaks to us through dreams and ideas that we visualize or envision. We always use that screen in the mind. And I invite people very often to close their eyes and imagine, for example, their kitchen, or their backyard, or the the instrument panel on their car or a tree or a red bird or a bluebird or whatever. And when you do that, you realize, oh my gosh, I see something in there. So we activate that. So what happens is that we can start to utilize that as a way to start to get messages from our higher self, which is our higher levels of awareness and knowing, and then it'll start to speak to us. Clairvoyance is literally just allowing yourself to interpret what comes into that screen of the mind. And then it's very interesting, once you remember, not learn, but remember how to access it, it expands and expands and expands and expands until it's guiding you to do amazing things.
I love that. And it's also part of just being, you know, being more in tune helps you be more aware of your environment as well, you know, so that you prevent yourself from getting into situations that could be traumatic as well. You know what I mean? So listening to that Jiminy Cricket, that inner voice, all of that good stuff. So when I'm getting a download, it's interesting. It's, I call them Tiffany epiphanies.
I love that. So can I have them too, even though I'm not a Tiffany?
We'll call them Steph. Epiphanies. I don't know. Anyways, when I'm getting my Tiffany epiphanies or my downloads, I also tend to notice that they're happening around times. So 111, 1111, 222, 444. And I used to never, like, at first I was like, yeah, that's just weird, you know, coincidental. I don't know how much you are into numerology as well, but I've learned that it's my spirits or my guides telling me you're in the right place at the right time, or be careful what you're thinking because you're manifesting very quickly, or you are protected, you know, things of that nature. Because I, again, love that kind of stuff. Have you dove into the numerology side of things?
Yes. And what's interesting is I'm going to expand on that a little bit. Okay. And this could be paradigm shifting.
Okay.
So the reality that we live in is completely malleable. And when we come to the Earth School, what we're actually learning is how to create our reality. Every lesson that we're meant to learn here in the Earth School is ultimately training us to be the creator that we were created to be. And so what's interesting is that right now you're able to create the synchronicity of the numerology, and numerology is something great to leverage off of. I will remember when I started doing energy healing, I walked into Costco to get a massage table to do the energy healing work. And I walk in and all the TVs in Costco, there was some travel channel that suddenly it shifted to a stained glass window of these three angels sending healing energy out of their hands. Wow. As I walked into Costco to get to the table. And it's in those moments that you realize, oh my gosh, what I'm living in, I'm actually creating every bit of it. And so all these aspects, whether it's the traumatic aspects or the joyful, miraculous aspects, are teaching us how we actually have the command or the owner's manual of that conscious creativity. So you think about, like, for example, this, when The Secret came out, it actually opened our eyes to the ability that we have to consciously create our own reality, which is a little bit of the tip of the iceberg, with all due respect to Rhonda and her work. And yet what's interesting, it did open up a gateway portal, because the motivation originally to consciously create our reality was about, ooh, I want a mansion, I want an Aston Martin, you know, and all that kind of good stuff, right? I want to create all that amazing stuff. But what's interesting is the power behind all of that is recognizing the unity of being that we are. And there is so much power in realizing that it's not this sort of like, ooh, it'd be great if I have everything, it doesn't matter, everyone else. It's more interesting to create a new world where everybody lives in that abundance and the ability to access the conscious creator that's within.
Ooh, yeah, I like that. So basically you're saying, and I know you'd mentioned before something about 5D, five dimensional. So we tend to, as humans right now, think very linear, you know, like we're just one dimension here, where really we could be living on different timelines and not really realize it. Right. Mm-hmm. And I know we're getting pretty deep now into some stuff that maybe a lot of people haven't heard of before. But I want you to talk more about that 3D and 5D living.
So again, this is some terminology that we use, just maybe have like an understanding or an agreement on understanding of moving into higher levels of consciousness. Are there dimensions? Possibly. Are they experienced that way? Absolutely. A lot of your listeners who are listening to this maybe even recognize that at night you're astral traveling more than ever, because the levels of availability of consciousness is actually so heightened in this reality. Now, back in March of 2020, a certain event came into the global scape, and I'm not allowed to call it what the media calls it. I'm only allowed by the angels to call it an ascension portal. And the reason they call it an ascension portal is they said that the catalyst of events, or the events that would be unfolding, would create a catalyst for so many people to then activate these higher levels of consciousness and spirituality. And here we are 2.5 later, and this is absolutely the case. And now, as a result, the collective is having these higher vibrating experiences of astral traveling in their sleep. I'm getting like these amazing instructions, like I'm going to school at night when I'm asleep, and I remember everything that I just learned, and it expands on everything that I remembered / learned from the last one. And I'm hearing this from so many people right now. They're saying, I'm astral traveling every night. So you're knowing what this is, because it's something that's going beyond just regular dreaming. So we are moving, or we could say we have moved into a more expanded and creative state. And now humanity is dreaming a new dream. So as we're moving into that, the 3D, if you could say that, is a terminology that we're using to describe a more finite and limited reality, which is I go to work, I get green things called money, and I pay my bills. And we're capable of something so much greater than that. We're not dependent on a system that is so limiting. And even that whole system is something that creates the idea of false scarcity, like market shifts. I don't care if the stock market does whatever, the real estate market does whatever. The sun is always going to bless this planet with what it needs to photosynthesize and create sustenance for us to live off of. That's always going to happen at every moment. So that's just buying into false scarcity, which doesn't exist. So we're moving into a quantum level where false scarcity, one of those things, is going to disappear, including the need for war and other things. So that level of consciousness means that all of this stuff that we've been doing, such as experiencing trauma, processing it, and becoming more expanded because of it, and all of the things that have happened through the collective experiences, whatever that might be, 9/11 or whatever it is that humanity has experienced, all the wars and all of the atrocities, all of that has actually helped humanity's consciousness to grow and escalate to where it's now actually able to live at a different level.
And to be more resilient, I would say as a whole, we become just such resilient people, you know, from what's happened in this great awakening, you know, since March of 2020, as you mentioned. Now, you mentioned astral travel. I know what you're talking about, but maybe somebody listening has never even heard that term before. There's lucid dreaming, and then there's astral travel. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Great. Well, first of all, what's interesting is that our physical body is kind of part of a hologram. So when we go in through our awareness and we have a very visceral and tangible experience of being somewhere else, it means that in much the same way that our higher self is creating this reality and this dimension to be in, where I'm in a physical body, I'm in, for example, California right now, and I'm, you know, looking up at a blue sky, and I'm sitting in, you know, let's say a city called West Hollywood or Santa Monica. That's one dimension that my consciousness is tuned into in my physicalized body, but it's not the only one. So I can actually tune in, for example, when I'm asleep, and I can go visit some waterfall where there are angels that are teaching me lessons or all of that sort of thing. So we can travel to other places. And again, through hypnosis, I take people, or people will go there on their own. They'll go to certain places where the guides and angels will take them to, and then the guides and angels will work on them and help them heal. But there are actual other places that exist that are technically just as real as the one that we're in, but we're sort of becoming less attached to believing that this is the only dimension that we're connected to, attached to, or experiencing right now. So as our multidimensional awareness begins to expand, we're also able to be present in other dimensions at the same time. And we're normally we're going to do that while we're asleep.
Right. And that's when we can do our healing work too, especially when you're doing this hypnosis. So I want to talk more about this hypnosis side of things. How long does a session take with somebody if they wanted to sign up and do something like that with you?
Well, yes, it depends. Every session is catered to the person.
Okay.
So I put an hour and a half aside on my calendar for the person because I combine my intuition and the guidance of the angels with energy work. So in addition to being a certified hypnotherapist, which is understanding the modality of connecting people to the quantum field, and you could do like stop smoking and lose weight or all those other things, we're going to another level. We're taking your particular assignment of what you have to break through. So for example, so it takes about I usually put about an hour and a half aside, but the sessions are usually an hour, and I take the person into a relaxed state. And then all of a sudden their third eye or their inner screen in their mind becomes activated. They surrender the portal of what we would call our imagination to their higher self through the guides. We bring in the guides and angels. And then what will happen is the guides will take them wherever they're supposed to do, but they'll also ping me as to why we're there. So it's very interesting. So I'll give a couple of examples because it's just really cool to watch. I had a client recently who was working on some aspects of feeling lovable in relationships. And we were in a state, we entered into some little bit of astral travel, and then her brother, who actually is deceased, came in and she was able to experience seeing him there. Her brother came in and brought her to a scene when they were younger and their parents were having whatever disagreements or whatever that were allowing these young children to program, you know, the scarcity of love or the conflict or whatever. And it happened on such a deep and energetic level that it began to loosen up, where it began to actually break up the stuck energy that was around these limiting beliefs. But she experienced such an amazing connection with her brother. And that was just what was meant to happen for her. I brought someone in who is like this really, really linear, like lawyer type. And she's like, I don't know if you can hypnotize me. I get that all the time. And she goes in there and she's really like, I mean, her, it was just like, you know, you can tell when someone's always like, they're just like going 100 miles a minute. And they're just like
what's next? What's next?
Oh, so yeah. They can't even settle down. And I got her into this state. And she was in there because she was having difficulty with interactions with other people. And of course, because we're in a quantum field, just like animals, they ping signals to each other. She wanted to know if I could deal with that, right? Because she was getting some interesting interactions with people that were unwelcomed in that sense. And so because I understand the quantum field and how that works when we're sending out signals, I understood that there was a signal in there that she was sending out, like an aggressive dog would send out to other dogs or whatever. We send out these signals as well. So I just brought in the higher mind and I let it do the work. And she started regressing to some memories that she had when she was a kid and her caretakers and everything. And suddenly she just sat up and she goes, oh my God, I need to stop holding grudges against people because it's actually blocking so much energy. And she knew what to do. Her guides and angels brought her into a place where she brought up every single person in her life that she was holding all these grudges with, and she ends up releasing them. So everybody's experience is completely different. The higher mind knows exactly what's to do. And I just, by understanding the quantum field and how to work with it and work with energy, because energy becomes part of the equation, all of that begins to actually create an instant transformation or an instant healing of all kinds. And it could be physical, mental, spiritual trauma. It could be success programming. Let's say I have goals and objectives and I want to get rid of these sort of small-mindedness. I want to increase the size of my container. We can do all of that through this work. So much stuff.
And what made you even get into this to begin with? I never even asked you that.
Oh, yeah, that's great. So after I began communicating with the angels, the first thing that I got introduced to was an energy healing modality. And when I was in that, I went into this multidimensional state where my physical body wasn't the limitation of me. And one of the archangels came to me and said, Seth, one of the things you're going to understand with healing as you become a healer, a full-on healer, is that healing isn't fixing something that's broken. It's about remembering that you're perfect and it was never broken to begin with. So what happens is that we go through, for example, our trauma, which is like whatever it might be. I'm going to use mine, bullying. Okay. So we go through that and we end up like identifying with a false belief. I am inadequate and I am unlovable, which is not true. It's a false belief. So that false belief then limits me into doing certain things that I could do if I had the belief that I was adequate and lovable in this case, if we're going to use that. So what's interesting is they help me to understand that the minute that we actually give up the false beliefs about something, even if it's the false belief that I have cancer, and we give up the false belief because at the multidimensional level, we are always in a perfect state. And then we can reintegrate that in there. And maybe whatever it is might be cancer cells. And then they might go away because we go up to our multidimensional self and we remember who we really are, that we're not this human being. And then we come back and we decide, I don't need that experience anymore. It taught me everything that I needed to know. So after I had that experience, somehow or another, it became intriguing to do a past life regression with a hypnotherapist. And so when I went in there, I tuned into my actual self, not Seth, but my actual self. And I remembered who I am. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So after doing a bit of hypnotherapy and actually doing some amazing work on myself with that, I'm like, I want to do this. And for the longest time, of course, I did that with the normal protocols and sort of helped me to understand how to take people into induction and what happens when we get that access to our higher mind. But then that started expanding by incorporating the energy healing and bringing in the angels and guides and actually facilitating a healing in that state as well. So that's what brought me into it. But it just sort of worked into sort of its own expression of or expanded expression of that. But I just got the guidance. Go sign up for that class. Go get the healing. Go do this. Go do that. And it's like, okay, I'll go do that.
Sure. And so you have a book you've written, a book or two, right?
Well, I actually published the Ascension with the Angels Tarot.
Oh, okay. And
yeah. So that's the tarot cards that you see behind me. Those are, they're actually have a healing frequency embedded in them. That's why they're called the Ascension with the Angels Tarot, because we're meant to use tarot as a tool to actually access the deeper levels of awareness. It's one of the ways that we can, but there's a cool story of synchronicity about how the cards came to be.
I want to hear it.
Okay, cool. Well, it's interesting. Yeah, of course. Well, first of all, someone shared that I should do that. And all of a sudden it hit me like, sure, I should do that. And what happened was I was like, okay, great. So I ended up actually manifesting the resources, i.e. the money to do it, to actually have them designed. So it's interesting because then because I worked in film and television as an actor and I worked in that realm, the idea was given to me to go through one of my networking groups and send out an email asking for the designer for the tarot cards. So someone responded to me because I have the concepts and I wanted to work in synergy with the artists, with an artist who could put it into graphically express that. And I ended up getting a response from someone who said, I'm an angel channel. And the angels just told me recently that someone would send a message through this networking group, which is all about finding cameras and microphones and actors and things like that, that someone would send me this message. And I said, oh my gosh. So she designed a couple of images for me and they were perfect. They're absolutely perfect. So we got to connecting and it turned out that we were one of the bits of synchronicity is that she worked for my old manager when I was auditioning as an actor. And all of a sudden I recalled that when I met her to sign the agreement, that she had this book about the angels, and actually this angel right here that I'm showing you, mm-hmm. And a bunch of other angels on the back of her bookshelf behind her. And I said, "Oh my gosh, do you like the angels?" And she said, "Yes." This was my manager. And I said, "Oh my gosh, I talked to them." She goes, "Well, that explains why you have that energy that's so magnetic." And I said, "Cool." Well, it turns out that this designer was working for that manager at the time that I was actually being managed by her. And of course, there's the angels in a synchronicity, even though it was in the rearview mirror. So as we went to go design the cards and go further with this, there would be times where like, "Oh my gosh, the angels just told me to put the violet flame of transmutation on the Ace of Swords." And she goes, "Oh my God, I was just drawing something just like that. Now I guess I know what it is." So the angels wanted us to know that we were being used in concert to actually channel the images. So the images are meant to evoke something that would create the healing. So it was all kinds of synchronicity in the meantime, just to create them. And I don't want to say resistant to the idea that tarot was part of this bigger picture calling. But then when I saw the role that intuitive development plays in the whole bigger picture of becoming a conscious creator, then I realized, oh, now I understand, because I meant to actually meet people on various levels or entry points where they're meant to consciously rise up to their most creative self. And this is how I'm going to meet people at various levels.
I would say you are a light worker, for sure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I call myself one of those as well. But let's talk about this channeling with the mm-hmm. angels. What does that feel like physically when you're getting a download or you're channeling with them?
So all of a sudden, you just kind of tap into this knowing. Ah. So I don't go into the state where my eyes start to flutter and I give my body over. I just hear stuff from them and I just make realizations. I just open up and I get into an expanded state of awareness. It's so blissful. I can't not do it. It's so fun. And of course, they're so full of unconditional love. You get to experience it as it comes through you. So when I do, for example, readings or any of that, what will happen is people started reporting to me because I made the agreement with them that I could be a transmit point for high frequency energy. So we know about this scientifically, and anyone who does music understands pitch and resonance, right? So when we broadcast a high frequency, we bring other people into that frequency with us automatically. Right. And it could be explained as simple as this. If I'm in a great mood and someone's in a bad mood and we hang out all day and I stay in my good mood and I don't let their bad mood bring me down, then all of a sudden they're laughing and they're like, "Oh, I feel better when I'm around you. What's this all about?" So we know that we do this all the time with those sort of principles. And so when we're a broadcast point for the angels' high, high vibrating frequency, then it's actually bringing the consciousness level up in a way that is energetic and then translates into another manifested form, be it a healing or guidance or manifestation or whatever. It's how we manifest is through that high frequency energy. And so I started realizing as I'm talking to them all the time, my body starts to heat up. And then someone's like, "I feel like I'm floating," or my body's heating up, or I feel tingly in my hands or whatever. And that's what will happen because we'll get a little register in that sense. So channeling is just become automatic, where I just sort of tap in, I invite them in, and then I just sort of hear them through telepathy speaking to me, and I just convey what I hear from them.
Do you think that meditation is a good place to start for somebody that wants to be able to tap into their angels or their higher self?
Yes. Yes. And before they do that, because I remember before the angels came, I tried meditation and I was like, "I can't get it. I can't get it." So those of you that have tried it and can't get it, I'm speaking directly to you. What happens is that we're trying to go into a state that we believe maybe from the Hollywood version of what's portrayed as being in a meditative state, instead of actually just remembering the state that we go into when we're in the shower or doing something creative. And all we're doing is actually getting into that state. And the way that I always tell people to really tap into that is actually take your hand, and we all have that healing energy pulsing through our hand, just like what we would visualize the angels have.
Yeah.
We all have that. So what we can actually do is put our hand on top of our heart, take mm-hmm. our focus and move it from our left brain down into our heart. And we can send our self-healing energy, like white golden light coming through our hand. And it actually expands our heart. And what's interesting is that we go from feeling like a flattened, contracted state into feeling a heightened and expanded state. Expanded state feels good. Contracted state feels bad. So if you're watching the news per se, it's meant to put you in a contracted state.
Right.
Take your power away. And if you're doing something like a meditation or a nature, it will lull you into an expanded state. You're going through a walk in the forest and you're suddenly like, you know what? I should create an amazing YouTube video about showing people how to do something or whatever it is. And it just flows. Stream of consciousness can speak to us when we're in an expanded state. And when we're in a contracted and a fear state, we can't access that information.
Right. I love what you said, too, about kind of picking up on each other's energy and feeding on that. I just talked about this last week with another guest on my show. Just how, you know, somebody, you can be having the greatest day in the world. And let's say your spouse comes home and they had the shittiest day at work and so many problems and overwhelmed and stressed. And it's really up to you to say, I'm not going to take on that energy, because it's very easy to take on for people if they're not aware. And then it can change your whole dynamic of how you feel, and you can fall into that. Now you're angry with them too, right? Lack attracts lack, like attracts like. So I really agree with what you've said there on that as well.
And you unlocked something that's really a new powerful tool that we're really discovering, because first of all, we're beginning to take responsibility for what triggers us. When something triggers us into any sort of contracted feeling, we get to ask the question, instead of spinning out in that and making about what other people did or about the situation that triggered it, we get to say, I wonder what this is revealing to me, or I wonder what stuck energy somewhere is asking to be released finally. Because the angels say that when we take on a traumatic situation and then it burdens us, we're actually expanding from that difficulty and challenge. And then when we've learned everything that we were meant to learn from it, it then allows an opportunity to come forth, and then we release it because it's no longer the teaching mechanism that we need anymore.
Right.
And so when something comes up and triggers us, we get to take responsibility in full compassion for ourselves. And we say, I wonder what energy that's stuck in lower frequency is asking to be released here. And we can take something as simple as when we're disappointed. We've attempted to do something. We've auditioned for something that we didn't get. We interviewed for something we didn't get. Or, you know, we dumped something on the ground, or, you know, we backed into the mailbox with our brand new car. Whatever it is, it's going to trigger us into that spot. But we're not supposed to bury our heads in the sand. We're asking, well, what is this all about? Why did this show up? What can I release? And then when we do that, then we can actually respond to it differently. So I have a beautiful, wonderful, wonderful human being that the universe sent to me to be in a beautiful, wonderful relationship with. And every time something happens that triggers, instead of reacting, I just say, another opportunity. I say, babe, I'm going to the gym. I'm going to be back in a bit, and I go work through it on my own. And the next thing I know, I go back because it has nothing to do with them. It was all me. I go deal with it. I come back and I just give, it's just, you just, you come back, you give them a big hug, and then you're like, this is great. And the cool thing is that once that happens, the thing that bothered you, they don't do it anymore. You wonder why it's a gift. And it happens with everything, whether it's your significant other or whatever. But in cases where they come and they're in a bad mood or whatever, then you get to have the compassion and say, wow, I wonder what got triggered in them today and what they're dealing with. And then you just take, I take energy from my heart and my hands and I just send it to them and allow them to guide and accept whatever stuck energy is wanting to move through them, because if they're not the victim of the day, something is powerfully moving through them. I call it the contraction before the expansion is what happens. If you notice, every time a blessing comes, at first something difficult or challenging comes first. It'd be great if we could just say, ooh, I wonder what blessing is coming from this, right? But then you do that and then you say, well, I'm going to be of service. I'm going to hold the space for whatever it is to, for them to become free of that. I'm going to hold the space for that. And I'm just going to be here in love with that. And that's what we're here for and with each other.
I love that. I also love, like you say, just kind of embracing the contraction because you know the expansion is coming, right? Mm-hmm. Embracing, you know, I'm going through this tough stuff, but it's because I'm growing into something better and something greater. So yeah, I love what you said there. We are running out of time. So I'm going to ask you just a few more questions before I move on to 20 questions. The first question I have for you is, what do you know for sure?
I know that we are all here for each other. And the more we connect with each other, the more powerful we become. And when division, which is pure illusion, comes upon our path, it's the greatest opportunity to discover unity.
What are you hoping the listener is going to take away from our conversation today?
That they are more powerful than they can possibly understand, and to accept the invitation to step into that power and join the party of ascension.
What's the five-year plan, Seth? What's the five-year plan? I know you go with the flow, but I'm going to make you put some sort of a plan with it.
Yeah.
Do you think you're going to be speaking more? You're going to be affecting more lives. You got some books. What you got going on? What do you envision?
First of all, the five-year plan is to raise consciousness by allowing people to understand and see that they are so much more powerful than they've been led to believe. And I'm creating a film about raising consciousness. I'm creating courses with other lightworkers, conscious luminaries, with a sort of a library online. So watch out for the website, earthangelsinternational.com. That'll be hosted on there, a sort of a school that we can go to learn new things. All of this, the primary directive is to raise consciousness and to reveal to people that they are very, very powerful.
So you mentioned Earth Angels International. What's on Earth Angels International if I were to go there right now?
It's a blank page.
Okay.
So right now I'm working with other, I call us conscious luminaries because we're light workers who understand that our light work is here to bring in the new age.
Yeah.
And so we're luminaries lighting the way for consciousness, for people to discover the power through their higher conscious states. So those that come into, for example, the film project that I'm working on and doing courses, that's all in assembly mode at this particular moment.
So let's say somebody wants to get in touch with you. They want to do a hypnotherapy session with you. They want to buy your tarot cards. They want to get in on this angel network or international network. How do they do so? More websites, more Instagram, social media handles, any of that?
Easy. My main website right now is talktomyangels.com. talktomyangels with T-O, tomyangels.com. And from there, you can register for my free 21-day course, which teaches you how to pull a tarot card and begin to access guidance. They're just really quick videos that you get, three-minute videos every day, pulling a tarot card for you and kind of revealing that and giving you an idea of how to do that. From there, you can book sessions. You can book a free Connect session if you want to just explore hypnotherapy. You can register for the online course as well for Angels and Tarot Masterclass. And then through Instagram, which is also Talk to My Angels, from there you can follow me. But I'm not a real big Instagrammer, but you can DM me there. I'll get the messages through there as well.
Love it. Awesome. All right. Let's go into what I like to call 20 questions. Yes. Okay, choose a number between 1 and 20.
17.
What is your favorite movie and why? What a great question for you coming from the movie scene.
Right? Wow, what is my favorite movie and why? So, there's a couple of them.
Okay, but I'll let you give two, even though it's only supposed to be one.
Oh, no. It's interesting because, believe it or not, my favorite movie is Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
Yes, I went to Savannah, Georgia right after that because of that movie. Yeah.
I want to go there because of that too.
Yeah.
And the reason I love that, I read the book as well. And what's interesting is the movie, of course, is always different than the book because right. The movie is a visual medium. And as a screenplay writer, I understand why. So I don't have these expectations. The book, first of all, did a rich characterization of all of the characters. And these were all real life characters. These were all real life characters that took place in the book. So everything that's in the book was an actual true story. I loved the movie because, well, I loved the part where the balance of karma took its course. That was kind of cool to watch how that ended up happening, despite the upper hand that the manipulative character had. But I loved the deep dive into that culture of Savannah and how people were connected in a certain way. And do you know that the character who played the Lady Chablis in the movie was the real Lady Chablis from the real life story?
I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. And also the character who played the judge in the movie was Sonny Seiler, who was one of the case was a little different in the real life story. So they sort of dramatize it for film, but that actual character was played by Sonny Seiler, which was one of the lawyers of the true life story. So that was kind of interesting as well.
Yeah.
But that film had a very interesting texture in that sense. It has no relevance to my work, but it's my favorite film. It's my all-time favorite film.
Yeah, I would not have picked that. I don't know why I wouldn't have picked that. But when I went to Savannah, I did a tour where they take you to the actual places within the book. It was really, really neat and fascinating. So I'm with you. Great movie. Not my favorite one of all time, but great, great choice. So thank you again for being on the show. I wish we had more time. I'd love to have you back sometime. I think you might roll through Salt Lake City and then we can do maybe something live. We talked about that.
That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. So those of you listening, go ahead, take advantage of every opportunity you have to buy these tarot cards, maybe try a hypnotherapy session. Just get in touch with Seth. He's an amazing individual, lighthouse. He's a light worker. He is just out there making a difference in the world, in our communities, and just on a whole conscious level as well. So you guys know this is a labor of love for me. This is something I do because I genuinely love it. It gets me out of bed every single day. So do me a favor. Go on, if you're on the Apple Podcast Network, just go ahead and give us a rate, a review, something of that nature, so that more people know this is out there and available. Or just share it with somebody. Maybe you know somebody that this message would really resonate with. And as always, you are worthy, you are enough, and keep on shining your light. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Speak Loud. If this message resonated with you, please feel free to share it with anyone you feel could use the support. To find out more information about Share, our movement, and to join the cause, please visit sharethemovement.org. Until next time.